Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I am here with Judy Friedman, and Judy was widowed at the age of 50, and she has been reinventing herself for more than a decade. She started blogging in 2007 when she was approaching her 50th birthday. Her original blog, A Year to 50, captured her feelings as she approached this milestone midlife age. It was a life-changing year for her when her 24-year marriage ended after her husband took ill and passed away 2 weeks shy of her 50th. Shortly after losing her spouse, she also became an empty nester when her daughter graduated from college and her son graduated from high school. Her readers wanted to know what was going to happen to her after the significant loss, so Judy created the now award-winning blog, A Baby Boomer Woman's Life After 50, which you can find it at aboomerslifeafter50.com, which targeted to the millions of baby boomer women who were born between 1945 and 1964, who are going through a similar life journey in mind, body, and spirit. Judy, welcome to the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thanks, Kim. It's nice to be here.
Did I get that website right, aboomerslifeafter50.com?
Yes, that's okay. My current blog.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what I know it as. So great. Okay, well, Judy, we are going to talk today about five things that you've learned in your 50s since, you know, from the time you turned 50, it has been a journey, right? But before we get into that, I'm going to ask you the question I ask every guest at first, which is, what do you enjoy doing during your me time?
During my me time, well, because I'm a yoga instructor, I love doing yoga and all kinds of yoga.
Yeah. And when did you get into yoga?
I got into yoga after I lost my husband.
Actually. Really?
I had a very good coach, and I say therapist. She was both a therapist and a counselor and a coach. And she suggested I try yoga and mindfulness meditation. And that was, again, over 10 years ago. So mindfulness was just starting. It's interesting to see now how popular it is. So I feel like sometimes they used to say at my job, I was ahead of my time. I feel like I was ahead of my time.
Right.
Now, now it's everybody's so stressed out that mindfulness and yoga are very popular. So I loved yoga, and it helped me heal. It helped me heal from my grief. And that was definitely one of the big exercises and practices that I did, both meditation and yoga, bringing you into the present. Things, if you ask me about what I learned in my 50s, through my meditation and mindfulness and yoga, I've learned to come into the present, because that's really all we have. When I teach both meditation and yoga, I say, you're here now, bring your whole self. And we say your mind and your body and your spirit, because as you well know, sometimes you don't bring your whole self to something. Your mind may be someplace else, but your body is physically there.
Mm-hmm.
Or your body may be someplace else, and your mind is the monkey mind. So bringing yourself into the present, even when we do yoga, we say, you know, for those of you who know yoga, if you're in a warrior stance, don't be in your stance. Don't be too far in the future, moving forward. Don't be too far in the past if you're not in alignment. We want you right present, right there, right now. Because as I say, that's all you really have is this present moment. And once it's gone, it's gone.
That's right. And then you're into a new present moment.
Right. And you can't predict the future. And you really can't change the past.
Right.
So in terms of, it's very challenging though. It's a very challenging practice. Who is it? Malcolm Gladwell, you know, the writer Malcolm Gladwell, he says, you know, it takes 10,000 hours, I think he says, to learn something. Well, a yoga and especially a meditation practice takes a long time. There's no perfection there.
Right. There's always room to grow. And that's what's so great about yoga. And it's the connection between the mind, body, and spirit, like you're saying. So I'm curious, you know, practicing being in the present, how did that help you move through the grief and what was happening in your life after your husband passed away?
So of course, after my husband passed away and it came, it wasn't something I was expecting. And I say that because sometimes people have an illness and it, and you know that, you know, the progression happens, but this happened so suddenly. And then it was over 6 months that he was very ill and passed away. I like to say he was giving me time. It didn't happen. And it's never the right time to lose a spouse or lose anybody in your life. But I went to some grief counseling and I did, I wasn't sure. It was hard because I was at a certain age and I found when I went to a bereavement group that most people were older than me. They were either bereavement groups of people that were older than me or people that were younger than me. And so, but I went to the group that was older than me and I just cried. I mean, you know, in the beginning, you're just like in, you go through all those phases of grief and denial and then anger, you know. And I remember the woman who ran the bereavement group saying to me that it's okay. It's okay to go through all those stages. And she said, eventually you'll stop the tears or the heart will calm down. It will never close. The heart will never close for that person, but you'll learn how to deal with your grief. Mm. And I did. And as I went around the room, they used to go around the room and I would listen to other people talk about their spouses. And some of these people were in their 70s and 80s and had been married a lot longer than I was even. That's when my grief started to turn. I say, I talk a lot about grief turning to gratitude. Mm. And it turned to gratitude because I thought about, and that's another thing with the present when you think about it, gratitude and presence, it goes together, it fits together. Mm. So I started to think, wow, I had a 24-year marriage that a lot of people don't have. I had two wonderful children, and I have a lot to live for. I have had a great career, and I have continue to have great, you know, opportunities. So I have a lot in my life to be grateful for. And that's how I started to move from grief to gratitude.
Mm, right. I can see that. So after you turned 50, and now what age are you now, Judy?
I'm 61 now.
61. Okay. Yeah. So you've had quite a decade in your 50s. So that's what I want to talk a little bit more about today are, you know, five things that you've learned in your 50s that we've talked about before, just you and I. So let's get into those things because I think that they're really important and key to, you know, a fulfilling life and a rich life in midlife. So, and you write about this stuff, you know, you've documented your journey for readers through your blog. So tell us, let's start with one of them here. What is one of the five things that you've learned?
The importance of wellness. Mm. My dad used to say, if you had your health, you're rich. Mm. And I think at this age, especially now at 61, and having been through some recent health issues, I realize that you have to enjoy yourself while you have your health.
Mm-hmm.
So even recently, as you know, Kim, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer right before I was turning 60. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, wow, it had been 10 years. I thought, oh, I lost my husband, I've had grief, now I have cancer, like, why me? You know, I went through grief, why me? But no one's immune to any kind of disease. And thankfully, my cancer was non-invasive, but I still have been having treatments. And it really hit me that wellness is so important and keeping your body well, even throughout your 50s. And I think one of the reasons, hopefully, I'm knocking on wood here, that I hope I continue to heal from my even my non-invasive cancer, is that I've kept, you know, through my yoga, through my meditation, through exercise, keeping my body, and even what I eat too, keeping my body well, so that if you do get disease, you can hopefully fight it off.
That's a great point. Yes. I mean, we talk about prevention, you know, being able to take care of yourself so that hopefully you don't encounter any kind of illness. I mean, we're all gonna pass from some kind of illness at some point. But you're so right, as far as when you're healthy and when you're well and you've been taking care of your body, then you recover much quicker and your body's able to be much more resilient. So yeah, that's great.
It's a holistic.
Absolutely.
You know, it's your mind and your body and your spirit. And
yes,
I say my philosophy is to keep my chin up, you know, so my next day is forever wrinkle free. Right. And there's vanity there too. And, you know, I have my middle. I'm getting used to that. I just had my well checkup today.
Okay.
My annual well checkup. And they said to me, you know, is there anything you want to talk to the doctor about? You know, any issues? I was like, well, do you want me to start from my head down to my toe?
Right.
But she said, overall, you know, you're pretty healthy. And so again, I think that also as women, especially as we age, and I was talking to my doctor today, I write about menopause,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the issues we go through, and I talk a lot about that. But I think that women need to speak up and about their health. And if they have any issues, they need to follow through on that and have their well checkups every year, their mammograms, yes. their pap tests, their
colonoscopies,
you know, so it's important to do that. And I know so many, you know, I know a lot of women who don't say, oh, I'm a caregiver to my parent or my kids or my partner or my spouse, and they fall, you know, by the wayside, but it's important that you stay well.
Yes. Yes, exactly. If you don't stay well, you can't help anybody else.
Right.
So what else have you learned?
I've learned that to find your passion. I've been lucky to find my passion and to search for it. And I know when we were talking a little bit, when we were preparing for this podcast, that I said I was listening to Elizabeth Gilbert, who the writer, and she was saying about some people can't find their passion. And again, I feel lucky that I was able to find my passion of my blogging and sharing my life with others so that I could help others that are going through similar issues and life experiences as I am. I found my yoga and became a yoga instructor after my life after 50, after leaving my full-time job. So, but not everybody, as Elizabeth says, can find their passion, but there's always curiosity. And I've had that curiosity. I have so many things. And especially when you talk about future and retirement, I think people need to explore and find what makes them curious. What are they curious about? And if they search enough, they may find that, oh, this is my passion. This is what I'm really passionate about. And even with my yoga, I was passionate about giving back. And with my blogging too, I talk a lot about, and my life now is not about the paycheck, it's about the passion and giving back. And
right.
I'm lucky again that I can do that. That almost leads into the next part of one of the things I learned is being good at financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
as you move into your 50s. Usually it's before too, but you don't really start to think about, I think, retirement, or I don't even like that word, retirement, your next phase or your reinvention. You know, what are you going to do in that next half of your life? And I don't really think it really sinks in until you turn 50. At least it didn't for me. Of course, I had, you know, an incredible change at that point. But I knew, I had planned that I was going to retire from my full-time job early. So I planned financially as well. And I knew that my kids would be done with college at a certain point. I was going to pay off, you know, some of my debt. I was going to save more so that I could have retire early and use some of that extra savings to live on until I was able to get my pension. Now, I'm lucky that I worked in a career, in a job that will pay me a pension. You know, that was a 30-year corporate job. Not everybody has that. But even so, regardless of that, you need to plan and think, look at your expenses. And that's one of the things that I did very closely and continue to do. It's easier now. I was very fearful in the beginning when I retired and gave up that corporate job. It was very scary. And I will say that finance was the financial part of it was the big scariness when you are used to getting this paycheck and then you're not getting it anymore. But I also learned how to live differently and I didn't need the same things that I did when I was working. So I kept my car for like 15 years. I just finally bought a new car and I didn't buy a totally new car because I really don't need it anymore.
Right. I find this a lot with my clients. You know, they really want to simplify their lives now. You know, their lives were so hectic and busy and full of stuff and, you know, maybe keeping up with the Joneses and purchasing new things and filling the house. But at this time of their life, they just want a more simple, easy, stress-free, decluttered life.
It's true. And I did in my 50s, after losing my husband and emptying out my nest, I did sell my house. I didn't need as much space. Now I do have a townhouse where I didn't want to have to take care of the grounds or hire a landscaper. So when you talk about simplifying your life, I think that is another process that you go through. And it's sometimes can be challenging as well to let go of some of those possessions that you have. And when I moved from my house, I also, and that's another learning. I think, you know, strategically, I used to hate that word strategically, but I strategically worked on my life, you know, and built my plan where I had always been doing strategic plans for a corporation. Then in my life after 50, now it's me, you know, that I have to plan my life out. What do I want to be doing? Where do I want to be living? How do I want to be living these next years? And it was really all up to me. I mean, I didn't have a spouse anymore. So, you know, how do I want to be living? And one of the things I did was I sold my house and I bought a house at the shore, a little condo at the shore. And again, it's very small, but it's my little condo on the corner. I write about it. And I always loved the beach when I was younger and growing up. And it was my mother at the time who was the most excited for me. Some people thought I was kind of crazy buying, you know, another property. But I knew again that I was going to sell my house. So I was going to have two smaller properties and not one big one that I'd have to take care of. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier. Even at the shore, I just, after 10 years, I put internet in during the summer. And I am very, you know, get concerned about it, that it's going to eat up my time. But I'm really careful because that's my away time and that's my me time. When you asked earlier about my me time, being at the shore is a wonderful place to let go and just be present. Mm. Walking on the beach, and seeing the ocean and hearing the ocean waves. It's a great place for me. Some people like the mountains. So you have to find your place where you like your me time.
Right. Yeah. And I think that goes back to what you were sharing earlier about curiosity. You know, this midlife time is just a wonderful time of reinvention and asking yourself, who am I now? What's important to me? What do I want? How do I want to design my life? You know, what do I want it to look like? And put all the shoulds behind us, right? Because maybe the first half of your life, you've lived in the shoulds, right? I should do this. I should do that. I should have this kind of home. I should have this kind of car. I should have a family that looks like this or whatever, right? And so what's great is that you're able to figure that out and ask yourself those questions out of curiosity now, right? And perhaps you have the means to do it at midlife, which is wonderful.
And you definitely have the wisdom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have the wisdom that I can share. And that's another reason why I like blogging, or even with my yoga, I'm using my skills in a different way. And it's nice to use those skills in a different way. I never thought about, sometimes people will come up to me and say, I just loved your yoga class. And that makes me feel so great. It really like lifts my day and lifts my spirits. Again, it's about that giving back, not about, oh, I'm getting, you know, paid a certain amount for it, or it's nothing about the money anymore. And yet I'm so happy when I'm able to, you know, help other people relax.
Absolutely.
And help other people de-stress.
Yes.
It makes me feel good. Or that I can help somebody through my writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's purpose in the things that you're doing now, yoga and writing, right? And knowing that you're not doing it for the paycheck, you're doing it because it fills you and it helps other people. I mean, it's a win-win all around.
Right. Right. And yeah. It's taken me in other directions as well. I always love to travel, and my travel blogging has blossomed, and it's been really wonderful. I mean, that I've been able to expand my curiosity through travel and do it through my blogging as well as personally.
So health and wellness, curiosity, financial responsibility, and what else have you learned in your 50s?
I learned that companionship is very important. I feel like if I ever write my book, it's going to be about my reinvention. It's going to be titled From Loneliness to Loveliness.
I love that.
Because a lot of times I was lonely, and I was very scared and lonely. I had never been alone. I had always had a roommate. I had my family by my side. I got married. I had children. Then all of a sudden, I was alone. And I learned how eventually I learned that I liked being alone. I wanted companionship too. So for me, companionship is very important. And I feel very lucky that I met a new soulmate. And we've been together for about 10 years, and we're not married. We both have our separate homes, but we're together as well. And we do things together and we do things apart. And we have a great relationship. Sometimes I say we have such a great relationship because we all live together.
Right.
but it's something that I found that was very important to me, that I do like the companionship, but at the same time, I like being on my own and I like being with myself. So I do travel sometimes by myself, and that's okay. And we travel together. I call it's my boyfriend L.
right. I've seen that.
Yeah. But it's been a great experience too. And this companionship or this partnership is very different now because we don't have, you know, children together. I'm not having children at this point in my life. So our children you know, I get along with his children and he gets along with my children, and we have a really nice relationship. And I think the other thing too is not only companionship with a particular partner, but also that you can meet new people after 50. You may have your friends that you've had through the years, but I also feel very grateful that I have met such wonderful women, including yourself through my blogging, other women through my yoga, that are great friends now. And we are friends not only virtually, but also sometimes we meet in person. And it's given me also such opportunities. I mean, my blogging and my yoga have given me incredible opportunities to meet new people and wonderful women. Women who are also going through reinventions and changing, because so many women are at this age. So the last piece that I've learned really came from my coach and therapist. And she would constantly ask me, what brings you joy? And I really, you know, before my 50s, before I left my full-time work, I was going. I was doing. And finally, I was able to be, just be, and think about, wow, what brings me joy? I think that's so important to think about as you get older, because you should be doing the things that bring you joy and happiness. So things, you know, my yoga brings me joy, my blogging brings me joy, being with my children brings me joy, being able to be with a partner and a companion brings me joy. And I need to do those things. And the things that don't bring me joy, well, sometimes you have to do those things too, but at least every day do something that brings you joy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. This is the conversation I have with my clients all the time, finding those things that bring you joy. And again, I think it's so funny. It just all goes back to the curiosity, right? The curiosity of what does my body need at this time of my life? Listening to our bodies and, you know, taking care of our financial health. You know, we talk about our physical health, but we have financial health as well. Our relational health, when you talk about companionship, you know, friendships or romantic relationships. And also, you know, as you were talking about friendships with yourself, right? Enjoying doing things on your own and also with other people, but not feeling like you have to only have one or the other, but figuring out now, what do I want? What makes me happy? So I think that's great. Wow. So health and wellness, curiosity, financial responsibility, companionship, and joy. I want to invite listeners to go and visit your blog, which is A Boomer's Life After 50, and subscribe to your blog. And how often do you have a new article that you...
I usually write once a week.
Okay.
And I write, lately I've been writing a lot about travel because I've been traveling, but I'm not only a travel blogger. Again, that goes back to the curiosity. I want to share other parts of my life. So I do write about wellness. I do write about reinventing retirement. I write about beauty and fashion, but not as much anymore.
Right.
Use more from the inside I write about than from, kind of, you know, makeup and the outside.
Right.
And again, about travel. So the topics that I write about, I like writing about all those things.
Right. And kind of that's the beautiful thing about blogging is that you can write about whatever's going on in your life right now, right? And readers, if they're following you for years, they can really see the evolving of who you're becoming through your writing as well, which I think is really a special thing. So Judy, thank you so much for coming onto the Me Time Midlife podcast.
Thank you, Kim.
If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more me time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife Community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.